Peanuts. No.
Hello. Peanuts.
Peanuts.
Hello and welcome to...
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
All right.
I'm staying in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Welcome to this broadcast, the English language broadcast podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
You just about got there as well.
Just about got there.
I've got
well,
a bag of nuts.
You do have a bag of nuts.
And I've been crunching them loudly.
A crunchy bunch of nuts there, Sam.
Crazy gang. Yes. Hello, listener. It's a lovely day today in South Moravia.
Yeah, bloody roasting it is.
It's a lovely
well.
Day to talk about the champions, Borovka Brno.
Yes, and how we got there, various things about, well, the last two games, not so much about the Kromjezice game, but the final one, definitely. We were there, you know, players of the season, games of the season, who we think might be... being given a cheap, crappy watch and told, you know, don't let the door hit your ass on the way out, and so forth. So, you know, that's all good fun.
Roll the music.
That was the music rolled. And 2 weeks ago, we went to SK, HK, FK, FC, CZ... Hanatska Slavia Kromjezice.
Well, we didn't, but a lot of people did.
Yes.
It was sold out.
Yeah, we didn't, but...
And it was a lovely, lovely day for it. True to form, listener, I was more concerned about that day's Eurovision Song Contest.
Yes.
And I won money.
And I was in Hungary, so that's why I wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
You won money.
Yes.
You bet on Bulgaria, did you?
I did bet on Bulgaria.
And boom, bangarang...
Bangarangara.
One.
Yes, it did.
Yes.
It did. So I was quite happy. And what was not so happy, perhaps, was the record, the league record slipping away.
Yes. Which we have now we've now drawn.
We're tied
with. Yeah, which is slightly annoying.
The artist formerly known as, well, or currently known as Slovatsko, right? Was
yes.
It Slovatsko that had the record?
Yeah, when they were known as insert name of company here.
I'll be honest, listener, I've had a lot of work on and I've not done my research a lot for this podcast at all.
Yeah, well, we can come back to that later, but... Kromjezice won, Brno won, and not an awful lot happened in that game, to be honest.
FC Sinot.
Sinot Tip.
Of course.
That's
yes.
Right, yes. A pretty dull end of season. Like, Kromjezice, as we've said, in the second half of the season, have really dug themselves out of a hole and had nothing to play for. So fair play to them for...
Absolutely,
for
yeah.
Another season in this league. It's exactly where they should be. Kubianetsky gets Zbrojovka's goal on 84 minutes. And then Philippe Jacques, an, you know, absolute solid pro at this level.
A second league stalwart,
yes.
You would say, is Philippe Jacques.
On 90 plus one.
I feel I have, over the course of this podcast, announced a lot of, and Philippe Jacques scores for them.
Yes.
Insert team we were playing.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Solid as you like, as a boy. And then we had the final game of the season. At home against Česká Budějovice in a nice piece of symmetry, because it was they, listener, who we played away in the first game of the season. Mm-hmm. Ben and I were there for chaos and new signings and also very, very hot weather.
Mm-hmm. One of my favourite things from one of my favourite things from that game, which set, I think, this year off to a good start... was, do you remember the photo, or I think it was a photo or video or whatever, and it was from the Česká Budějovice stand where a bunch of lads had just gone to Lidl and bought like a massive bag of cans and brought it into the stadium past security. Excellent. Because if you've been to Česká Budějovice, listener, the Lidl is really close to the stadium. It's like less than 5 minute walk.
Yeah, it was also because there
we've both thrown up outside it.
Yeah, there was also technically some sort of boycott. So there was a load of the lads standing with a big bag of cans outside the gate.
Yeah.
That's where they were, like you know, refusing to pay the tickets in. However, Chebe are also safe, which didn't look likely at points during this season.
Definition of safe, I think, is an interesting one here. There's a very real risk that Česká Budějovice lose not just their license, their club, their stadium, but everything.
Yes.
They might be moving a little bit closer to Brno as well.
Znojmo, baby. Yeah.
If things are to be believed. But
yes, combining wine and beer into one sort of, you know, not very well-run club. Mm-hmm. However, as a final game, it was great.
It was already off to a strong start for people that care about British TV. Because, of course, we had the Svedik Peaky Blinder.
Yes, I can't stand Peaky Blinders.
I've never seen it.
It's not that good. Anyway, yes, the squad had got together and had decided, because basically he is the most tracksuit of all tracksuited managers.
Yes.
So Svedik was told by the squad, here's a Peaky Blinders outfit. And honestly, he looked really good in it. It really suited him.
Did.
And to see him patrolling the touchline in like early 20th century garb with his flat cap and his watch chain,
Martin,
his big long
fucking
coat,
Svedik.
Yeah, was actually kind of funny. That was actually pretty decent. He changed out of it really sharpish for the trophy presentation.
He changed out of it really, really sharpish for the second half.
Oh yeah, basically, it was pretty much a walk in the park. Vacholšek gets us off the mark with a tap in the 6th minute. We could have had a couple more in the first half. Chebe offered a fairly little aside from Antony Vanicek. And Olamikian Adams occasionally trying to break through the lines onto a sort of long ball into the channels here and there. We go in at half-time, a goal ahead, and that seems sort of pretty fine. Like, we'd never come under a lot of pressure,
I mean,
really.
This is one of the things as well, right? It was truly because the record's gone, right? It was a nice day. Everyone knows that you're going to see the trophy lift anyway. And it was a lovely day.
Yeah, beautiful.
Nobody particularly cared about what happened. And, you know, very much in the same way as, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, when you're having a Kinder Surprise, you're always getting the toy at the end. It was the same sort of thing. And so everyone was in a really good mood. I think in the second half we'll maybe demonstrate this more. Is that because of that, there was just an unbelievable sense of freedom on the pitch for every single Brojovka player.
I was thinking about this earlier, and it really reminded me of Coventry's last game when we were home to Portsmouth for the last game of the season. We won, I think it was 5-1.
Yeah.
And in the run-up to the title, we'd kind of been scraping 1-0s and 1-1s, and it was like everyone looked a little bit tight.
Yeah.
And then everything settled. There's nothing to play for. It comes to the final home game, and everyone just goes, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
But even before that, wasn't it? Because did you not wrap up the league with like 4 matches to go or something like this? And then did something like just knocked in like something like 13 goals in 4 matches or something like that? Because I'm pretty sure you could have a pounding to someone else as well.
It wasn't as long before as that, but it was it had the same sense of freedom as we're over the line, everyone breathe, just have fun. So.
And you'll go on to say this as well, but what became very clear very early on, and very importantly, is that this is Stanislav Hoffmann's last ever game as a professional footballer. And you spotted this really early on. You spotted this after like the 10th minute, that everyone was just trying to get him to get a goal.
Oh, absolutely. we thought the second goal, which came on 15 minutes, was his. It was attributed to him initially in the stadium. It was actually Oli Velich getting his seventh of the season.
Yes, and having seen the replay, that's absolutely the right call.
Yeah.
You say we as if I saw any of that goal because I was in the beer queue.
Yes.
And for the first time in a long time, I've missed a goal watching the team because it's always happened at least half a dozen times every single season, but it hadn't happened this season.
You can't ruin a good thing. But what happened in the case of Hoffman, every time we had a set piece, obviously he's always up for corners and free kicks because he's a great header of the ball. He was our top scorer for like the first four or five games with three or four goals from set pieces. And whenever we had a set piece, he was up for that and just stayed at centre forward until we needed a kind of a reset because Chebe got the ball or something. Like, it was clear that everyone just really wanted him to get a goal.
And look, I mean, this was it. Like, I mean, I will say in parts, maybe not the last 20 minutes, but it started as a reasonably spirited performance by Budivica. As in trying to keep shape, trying to, you know, sort of do, you know, sort of bits and pieces. And it's, you know, but at the end of the day as well, right, it can't be a competitive side because not only, you know, are they, you know, beached anyway, highly unlikely that anyone is going to be with Cesc Budějovice next season because of the stuff. Mm. So really when you had this shape, which basically had us as an extra striker up front, we were met with very little resistance to this. Yeah. You know, there was no like specifically, you know, trying to mark him out of the game or any of that sort of stuff. He was just floating about.
Yeah. I mean, Chebe,
that being said,
did briefly remind us that they were also there when, and I'm going to pronounce this very wrongly, Tugeldor Gantogtoch. I don't know. The only Mongolian footballer I think I've ever seen play live scores to get one back in the 52nd minute. That was odd because basically nobody noticed it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like we was kind of still celebrating Velich slash as we thought was Hoffman's goal. Mm-hmm. They went down, scored one. Everyone went, oh, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
And that happened. Hoffman actually does get his goal, gets his goal in football cliches language when Vacholsek makes way for Kanakimana with about 15 minutes to go.
And what a fun 15 minutes this was.
Oh my word, yes.
Excellent.
Benny's first act is to get the ball and sprint 60 yards down to the other end to be fouled in the box. It's a stonewall penalty. Yes. And hello, Stander Hoffman, who steps up and smashes it. Yeah, absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Then Hoffman gets a guard of honour as he subs off, which is
woke.
Utter woke nonsense. I mean, thing is, like, he's had a long career in football. He's only been with us for a season. You know, I thought that was a bit odd.
How emotional he got, though.
Yes, that's true.
Was one of these sorts of things, though.
That's true.
I think as well, though, when it comes to this, we've only had him for a season, and we see this through the eyes of football supporters, right? Where it's like, I don't particularly care about how some players get on at other clubs or whatever. But I think it was one of those ones, at least for me. And keep in mind, we're it's a small country, right? It's a small country. There is quite a tight-knit group of professionals. And you know, a lot of professionals will have bumped into each other on their travels.
That's a good
multiple
point.
Times
That's
during their careers. So this, to me, felt like, because nobody asked Budějovice to do any of this, Budějovice, who were absolutely excellent in this, and guard of honour coming out and all these sorts of things as well, what you don't have to do. I think it was very much as it was a fellow professionals sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know? Because at the time I was sort of like, why are they subbing him? He's on a hat trick, try and get him a hat trick. But of course we didn't, well, I didn't see it at all.
Yeah.
But we didn't see close to the pit or whatever. And they will have probably known at that point that it was not given to, given to Hoffman anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, that happened. And it was, yeah, looking back, it was quite sweet. And as you said, that was not really a point that I'd thought about before. However, there is one more trick for this team to pull, and it's Benny again.
Exactly the same thing.
He caps off a superb little cameo, like a little 15-minute cameo by, again, sprinting basically the entire length of the pitch. Yeah. And this time, he gets to round the goalkeeper and tucks the ball away from a tighter angle than you think it is. Yeah. But yeah, to make it 4-1 in like 90 plus one or something, it's man.
Celebrating it in front of the folk in the main stand that have the Kanakimana fan club.
Yeah.
Which is very obviously kind of like sort of 10, 11-year-old girls and their parents or whatever that just really like him.
Yeah, it's
and
really
you
sweet.
See the video of that for the, it's so good.
Yeah.
And you're just sort of like, I mean, whatever you say for anything about players of the season and blah 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 or whatever, like, I challenge you to find a more likable member of that Spurs of Caburno side than Benny Kanakimana, who looks like he is absolutely loving being at the club as well. It's
excellent. And like as you say, like, the fans have just have really taken to him. He's just he's such a likable chap. He's a lovely bloke, very talented footballer, and as you say, seems like he's loving being here, and the fans love watching him play. It's just great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shall we do a separate thing about the post-match, or should we just go on to it now?
We should just go on to it now. We really need to start deciding these formats before we come on.
Yeah.
Because how many times are we always like, should we do a quiz? Or whatever. Spoiler alert, there is no quiz. But look, I mean, let's just keep it running, because I think that most people who are listening to the podcast this time are listening specifically for this reaction to things after the match and the lifting of the trophy and so on.
It was jolly good fun.
I mean, I'm going to actually just go on record right now and just say it, even if it possibly, I don't even think it's that controversial. Saturday at about sort of like that sort of time, straight after, it's probably my favourite ever moment of supporting this team.
That doesn't seem controversial to me. That seems absolutely bang on. Because it was really good fun.
And what happened is that they did it absolutely right. First of all, people behaved themselves, right? And obviously, because it's a win. And what they did sensibly was they had the stage just at the side of the pitch on the gravel sort of track. And what they did was they allowed people past the fence so they could go right up to the stage, which meant you had all this gravel and stuff to stand on. Also meant that no one needed to go onto the field. No one lost the run of themselves jumping over it. And that was also good because obviously footballers have families and all their kids were being able to run around on the pitch anyway. Yeah. But think about this, right? Because this is the technically the third time we have won this league, right? The first time was very much could not, you know, sort of celebrate this or whatever because of, you know, the various restrictions on, the bad things that happened with the global pandemic and so on. Then what you had was you had the league wrapped up on a Wednesday, and we had a Wednesday night last game.
That's right, yeah.
Where it was decided already, you know, because the other match was like kicked off an hour earlier, bizarrely. So it was already sewn up, and then there was only so much celebration or whatever you could have on a Wednesday night or whatever it was. This was also that Zborovka Brno side that we were all convinced was chancing it.
Yeah.
Because the league itself was so poor and that squad was so poor. But this one was, from the start of the season, there's just been nothing else but a great feeling around Srpska.
Yeah, it's just been one of the most professional seasons I've seen in a long time.
Absolutely.
In every aspect of the club, from ownership to management to players to fans conducting themselves, it's just been a really, really good season following this football club.
There's been no fights. you know, between fans like we've had before. There's been no mass controversial moments. There has been no wanton, like, really dickhead behaviour except for that up of a toilets incident.
And that time in Usti.
Yeah, which I feel was a bit of give and take from both sides in some ways. Everyone was sort of on the page, but and isn't it amazing how you can get, like you say, professional, but how much things get positive and good when attractive football at a fair price is offered to you.
Yeah.
And honesty in the club or whatever.
Yeah.
It was excellent.
Yes. I have very little to say apart from that, really. Apart from thank you to everyone who is now following us further. We've got a lot more people following the socials due to our video of Sam and I dancing around like dickheads, like, which was, you know, which was great.
Everyone like, you know, came to say hello and stuff during that, the aftermath and things.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Saw people I hadn't seen for ages or whatever.
Lots of Ciao Morti, you know, lots and of that.
Like, let's not beat around the bush, listener. I was really drunk. Like, to the point that when, after the celebrations, we went for a couple more celebratory pints.
We did, yeah.
You went home.
Yeah.
I did not. And then had to find out the next day that I had both been in a karaoke bar late at night and also, what I'm still living with now, somehow sprained my knee.
Yeah, 3,000 crowns lighter, sprained knee.
I'm pretty sure I spent that 3,000 crowns almost exclusively on Jägermeister as well.
Oh, God.
Just unbelievable scenes. Like, they don't come around that often.
Yeah. I'll tell you what does come around that often, hot or not.
Yes.
Should we do that now? Let's. It's time for the hot or the not, and we've just had news in...
Currently.
Yes.
Currently, there's still stuff to go. Because actually, listener, before we even get into the hot or nots, it does bear sort of saying like a little bit about our not-so-noisy neighbours or cohabitors, Artis Brno, with all their pomp, and we're going to bring real football back to the city. It's currently the first leg of the playoff, where it's Artis Brno 1, Slovatsko 4, 79 minutes played. We had a few beers before this podcast, because it's a lovely day outside, and we went to the wonderful Pivni Ordinatse right beside yours, David.
Hey, the doctor.
And we sort of mentioned that either result of this playoff is actually quite funny because, first of all, Artis should not really be beating Slovatsko.
No.
His, you know, have had a very good time of it over the last, say, 15 sort of years or whatever, European football, a couple of trophies and things like that. You know, and the fact that they're getting absolutely hammered by a team that are terrible. Pavel is now messaging the group chat saying, fight must be furious. That makes it funnier.
Yeah, it does.
Can I just say, on behalf of all those as well who jumped on the Artis wagon at the start of the season and said Zbrojovka are just this, you know, the worst thing in the world and it's a shame on the city, get it absolutely round you.
Can I also mention that tomorrow... OS Zbrojovci are having a kind of outdoor gig thing where you can go and see the trophy and, like, you know, get together with fans and stuff. There are, like, live bands on. And I feel that they've chosen the new outdoor Molodka space purely because Fight is trying to close it down.
Yeah.
Excellent work.
An awful man with an awful, awful team.
Yes. Right.
So that, think of that as your first hot.
Yeah, I can give you a not, which is something related to this, actually, which is Czech League confusion.
Okay.
Because we've now come to basically the end of the season. Banik and Slovatsko are clearly both going to be safe here.
Continuing the tradition of no teams ever getting promoted through the playoffs.
However, the lack of clarity already, because these things came to light so late, of Karvina, Khudim and Opava all still being under investigation,
mm-hmm.
and basically nobody knowing in some cases who's going to be in what league next year. Starperneau as well.
The Starperneau stuff is absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that, like, for a, you know, for a, like, mid-ranking European league to be in this kind of mess,
mm-hmm.
really is a not for me. Mm-hmm. You know, as it comes to the summer, and nobody really knows where they stand. Well, I mean,
mm-hmm.
obviously some teams know where they stand, the big clubs, etc. But people who were in the sort of run for promotion relegation and the clubs who are still under investigation for the bribery thing
mm-hmm.
don't know where they stand. And that is not a good look for Czech football.
Absolutely. It is possibly necessary in some ways that I think that what's come to a head this season has been things that have been an underlying problem for, well, God, as long as I've been following Czech football. Yeah. So maybe we do need this realignment. Some of the stuff is wild, though. Just on the start thing, even. Start was supposed to play Viktorice as well in the MSFL, and they didn't turn up to the game, so it was obviously awarded a 3-0 to the home side. Turns out that they haven't properly been paying their players, despite having this investigation for, you know, match fixing and things like that. So there was a mass termination of everyone's contracts due to a clause in it that the players, I think the players' union or whatever, found.
Yeah, yeah.
They then, in order to try and basically stay semi, you know, sort of competent or coherent, played their entire Bees or select members of the Bees against Vsetin. I think they lost 7-0. All the sponsors for Start have now said that Start, they've withdrawn their support and they don't want to have their you know, logos and things like that on the shirts while they're playing. And I'm pretty sure that someone who is also miffed at Start is also running their social media, because all these things are being very clearly communicated Lovely as club stuff. Statements.
I mean, you know, I don't want to sound controversial, but at the start of the season, Starperneau were taken over by a relatively prominent local businessman, inverted commas,
mm-hmm.
who had big plans for the stadium and wanted to take Starperneau up through the leagues to become the third big team in Brno. Who'd have thought that that would have gone immediately wrong?
Exactly.
And I mean, stop selling your clubs, your lovely local clubs, to these absolute fucking chancers.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, the other one as well, which actually we should also mention, because, you know, listeners will be aware of the kind of the mental case of Karvina, where it's all into their mayor and their mayor went missing for a while. Yeah. His mayor's in charge of all this kind of stuff. Karvina also won the cup.
Yes. So
they've got European football.
Well, that's up to UEFA.
Mm, yes, exactly.
Yeah. So that is still to be resolved. They may be, you know, relegated to God knows where, but still playing European competition, which would be wild.
Just a crazy time. It's a very good knot.
Yeah. Do you have something?
I'll go for a knot as well.
Yeah,
well, it's a knot or a hot, I suppose. And this is one that everyone will be aware about almost certainly as well. This is the Invergordon Bar Melbourne.
Yeah.
Which we discussed on Saturday.
I remember, David. Yeah, we had a lovely conversation about the Invergordon Bar Melbourne.
So listen, the Invergordon Bar is a pub in Melbourne in Australia. And they have...
as opposed to, like, you know, Melbourne, Quebec or somewhere.
Yeah. And they triumphantly 5 days ago put out this post saying that they are not going to show... And this is a Scottish pub, obviously. They're not going to show any of the Scotland matches during the World Cup. And you go, okay, it's a bit weird because that's a Scottish bar. But look, hey, a lot of pubs aren't going to be putting on the World Cup, right? But no, and I quote, "While every other pub in Melbourne is squinting at a screen, Invergordon Bar is doing it the old way, the wireless, just like your granddad listened to the football, just like it should be." Now, for those who aren't so familiar with British slang, the wireless is radio. So they're going to be putting all the Scotland matches on radio in their pub. Now, look, I've listened to the radio for football coverage a lot when driving somewhere,
yes,
or in the house when, you know, back in the day I didn't have Sky Telly growing up or whatever. Scotland haven't qualified for a World Cup since 1998. If you think that I would, and I wouldn't be, because I've never been to fucking Australia, I'm going to watch our first match back in a World Cup. The first time since I have been an adult, listening to it in a pub where pubs famously quiet,
yeah,
right? You've got another thing coming. And just like it should be, just like it should be. No, just like it should be, you should be going to the match if you can.
Yeah.
It's not just like it should be.
It's an insane decision.
Now, someone has taken my fun away from it slightly by saying, well, does the Invergordon bar have a TV anyway? Which I don't know. But why you would posterise this as being this sort of, oh, look at us, we're so different, we're doing it on the radio. Fuck off, man. Like, honestly, fuck off.
However, a lot of people know that the Invergordon Bar Melbourne exists now.
That is true.
So, you know, I'm going to say they're going to roll back on this and put it on the telly, but a lot of people have heard of them now.
It's, yeah, it's gone. It's been in the Daily Record, it's been on Yahoo, it's been on everything.
So maybe lots of people in Melbourne who had not heard of this bar now know of it, and they're just going to put it on the telly. Maybe it was just a brilliant bit of troll marketing.
Possibly. Also, you know, as a Scottish person, dare I say, possibly even proud Scottish person, the idea of going to Australia and meeting people in a Scottish bar in Australia absolutely gives me the fear. Not as much as a Scottish-themed bar in the United States, for example.
Sure.
Oh, my family are all Scotch. But, like, it's close.
Good, yeah.
My great-great-grandfather came and built this country on a ship. Of course he did. Anyway.
I'll give you a quick hot. Some bloke at Arsenal's title celebrations wearing a replica Arsenal shirt with Lottie Woburn Moy's name on the back. Normalise blokes getting names of the women's team on their shirt.
Good
stuff. Really liked it.
Incorrect, because they didn't win the...
Yeah, fine, good, right. Also, a very quick shout-out to Bob of Bob's Kitchen in Budapest, who basically gave me the remote for his TV in his pub after he got bored and went home after the Hearts-Celtic game and just let me watch whatever the fuck I wanted on the football on TV. Thanks for that, Bob. Yeah. Cheers, mate. Do you have anything else, or is that?
I mean the actual hot is Heart of Midlothian Football Club, David.
There we go.
What a fortnight that's. You've lost the league in let's just say controversial circumstances, right? Was the whistle blown? Should Celtic have got that penalty the match before or whatever? And then losing arguably your best player days later to Rangers is, I'm going to say it, hilarious.
Yeah.
We can just have a pause there to just soak in how funny it is that Hearts bottle the title.
And to... I still don't quite get what Lawrence Shankland does.
I mean, he scores goals. I mean, he's a striker!
Yeah, but I've just never seen it. He seems like somebody who's kind of accidentally become a striker.
I mean, he was accidentally scoring quite a lot of goals, is the thing. I mean, it was him and Claudio Braga were very good for that Hearts side. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter anymore. He is going to the World Cup, of course, as well.
As Rangers Lawrence Shankland.
Yes, and Hull City's Ollie McBurney is not. Because if you know anything about Ollie McBurney and football, you're not a tabloid and you'll understand why that's the case.
However, I'll tell you who is going. Coventry City's Hadji Wright.
He's in the US side. I saw this.
Up top, at home for his national team. Couldn't be happier for him.
There you go.
Lovely stuff.
David, do you want to... talk a little bit about some of the moments of the season and cap off the cap off a successful season with a beer after that.
I think we should do it, yes, very much in that order. Let's do that now. Hello. Yes, we're back. And let's do a little bit of... So, just a kind of general year summing up what you think your, you know, sort of player of the year, game of the season, things like that.
Yeah.
Are
very loose on this because we haven't had the sort of the prep or the plans, the preparation really for this, frankly, listener. And, you know, if you've been following for the last couple of months, you'll know why. What I would like to say, though, is that please feel free to text in, you know, to the text in. It's not a radio show, but like, you know, leave us a message on Facebook or Twitter about your favourite moments and how you sum up the season. As always, I'm very pleased that we have Podcast Flinter these days, because what we can usually now say is that if you want the in-depth analysis and the really good discussion about also, this, just go to those guys.
Yeah. Also, if Czech is your first language.
Yes. And even if it's not, you can still enjoy it.
Yes.
Some of us enjoy it still. So, thanks to the lads as well for keeping that up. They were also in very good form on Saturday.
They certainly were, yes. hello, chaps. Right. Let's start with who is your player of the year? I have listed them as obvious candidates and left field shouts.
Okay. I've got the head and the heart ones, right?
Okay, can I go through mine first? Because I've got quite a few for each one.
And
I think there will be a crossover, so maybe we can agree.
I have three in mind.
At some point. My obvious candidates on my list are Tadej Vacholsek.
Yes.
Adam Hrdina. Stander Hoffman... slightly for romance purposes, but I'm not sure. And Benny Kanakimana just through pure impact.
Yeah.
Then I've got some left field shouts. And they're both defenders.
Okay.
Jakub Klima.
Yeah.
Quietly excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And the much, much underrated Honza Juroška.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
Eight assists from fullback.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't missed a game, basically. Yeah. They're my kind of obvious candidates for the thing. I would have put Chavosh in there, apart from he missed almost half a season due to injury.
Yeah.
Because for the first half of the season, man, he would have been my player of the season. But like, yeah, he missed so many games due to being knacked over the winter.
And I think as well, if you put into that category as well, you would also think about how his name is Veli as well, because Veli started kind of
like a train.
Freight train, and then got a bit cold and got rotated a little bit and didn't really come back as strong. I would say that probably it would be remiss to not put Vacholsek there, just because I think that he's a very different player than, I'm going to make the obvious example of a Zbrojovka player that scores a lot, or scored a lot, right? Kuba Rezniček.
Yes.
Rezniček is a very different player where stuff would fall to him and he was very a turn, bang sort of footballer, whatever.
Yeah. Vacholsek, you've got a classic number nine.
Really. Yeah. Vacholsek, for almost all his goals, works exceptionally hard to get into the positions, to carry, you know, the ball, to get into a position where he can score.
I would also, and I think we're probably going to give this to Vacholsek in the end, because I would also mention his kind of, his season-long arc, in which for the first six or... like five or six games, he didn't feature.
Mm-hmm.
and it was his training and his appearance as substitute that really got him his chance. And then he started the game against Viktor Kazhichkov, mm-hmm. scored two, ran the entire thing, and then was basically a fixture from then on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really like that kind of season arc of, like, not being first choice. All these players have come in. You were there with us at the end of last year. All these players have come in, and you worked your ass off
mm-hmm.
to get in the side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also to get, I think, what, 14 as a kind of inside forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, great stuff.
And look, spare a thought just on this for Adam Cronus, right? That has been...
yeah.
Well, I mean... Who, again, like, nothing wrong with him, but because of, like, the good form of, you know, of Ahoja and Lisa, the players, has not really featured. No. It's unlikely that he will be, I will say, staying at the club over the summer.
I'm going to get onto that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As well. For me, however...
Yes?
I think, like, for the... Again, the romance of it or whatever, it's hard for me to see past Benny Kanakamana just for the reason... Just for the reason, and yes, we know, like, he doesn't often start games. He is a last 15-minute player. And, you know, debatable if you can have a player of the season that does that. Some people have pointed to Shaden Morris the other season for Aberdeen, but hey, wouldn't he be me? But, like, it feels like everything that... Because Shaden Morris would come in the last 15.
I wasn't asking, but...
Yeah. Right. Because it feels like everything that he does has, like, a very tangible
yes.
importance to how the season has panned out. So, I mean, if we go all the way back or whatever, where we were starting to get a little bit of a run and, but again, sometimes we needed just that spark to get something going. Bang, goal against Chrudim at Pardubice yeah. or whatever. Everyone knows about, you know, the link up that happened at Tabor away, for example, as well, which was just one of the, you know, sort of the craziest things there as well. Bang. Solo goal this time. Bang. Has come and saved, you know, was keeping the record alive at some point.
Yeah.
And you don't get players that come on and you almost expect them to score.
I mean, even when he didn't score... Usti away, for example.
Yes.
You bring him on just to release the pressure, you know, because he will run at people and, you know, and they will have kittens and send people back.
And
like,
he is delighted to, you know, to play that role, it feels.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, like, the most joy I've had, because he also, he's one of these players as well. He's not... You know, some players kind of play it cool when they score or have a very orchestrated sort of celebration.
Yeah. No, he's absolutely screaming his head off, isn't he? He loves it.
Thrilled. He looks thrilled. And he runs over to the... He almost does that thing where Alan Shearer would just have his, you know, his one hand in the air or whatever. Excellent. What a boy.
Yeah.
What a boy.
So, yeah, are we kind of collectively...
One of them, yeah.
Yeah, either giving... One of the wingers.
You have
Benny
to.
Or Vachosek. It's going
to
be one of the
you
two.
You have to give
it
Vachosek.
Yeah.
I think you have to. But Benny's, yeah. Benny's class.
Yeah. Yeah. Honourable mention.
Mm-hmm.
Game of the season. I have
two thoughts.
I have three. Zbrojovka 5, Kromiarich 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was both the best and worst of what we did this
good.
Season.
Okay, good.
Like, the goals shared around,
mm-hmm.
what looked like a consummate stroll at home,
mm-hmm.
but then conceding two goals, and we very rarely conceded goals to the side who, at that point, were absolutely the worst side in the league.
Yes, yes.
And we had also said, prior to this, we do concede a lot of stupid goals to a lot of daft teams in daft ways. So that game for me summed up the season in a way.
I like that, you know, as well. Because, I mean, we got better at this as the season went on, but there's always been... Can you name me a Zbrojovka season where the defence hasn't been the weakest part of, you know, of the side? Because I can't, you know?
Yeah. So there was that. Usti nil, Zbrojovka 1 for the sheer tension of it. Because mm-hmm. we were there and we liked going to Usti. And it was a fun weekend, and just for the sheer absolutely having kittens tension of it. Yeah. I haven't been in a stadium like that with a bunch of fans like that where we were just absolutely shitting it for the last 20 minutes.
They and with, gave it such a good go, didn't
and
they?
And with that Herdina save at the very end,
yeah,
where you just went, oh my good God, this is heart attack territory. So there was that. And finally, the one we just talked about, Sprovka 4, Chebe 1, just because it was great fun and they were let off the leash. So it's going to be one of those three for me, I think.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So, for me, I am... I think there's two. Let me just get the order of these things right for a second. Just because I've forgotten who specifically it was, and I shouldn't for best or most memorable game of the season, but we can edit this. But I think it's worth pointing out two specific games, and the one that I want to maybe bring up, is so the two I have one home and one away, and that is 2nd of August 2025, Zbrojovka Brno 2, Taborsko 1.
Mm.
Stana Hoffman, 92nd minute winner.
Yeah.
After a decent Paddy Zidny goal.
Yeah.
And not for the game, because the game I thought was pretty, at times average, it was keenly contested or whatever. But one thing that I think has stayed, at least with me all season, is that last minute goal and then the bench clearing and everyone like thrilled. You have the Tabor players with their heads in their hand. Tabor were 100% at the time as well. This is only the fourth game in.
Yeah.
And I think and we were both there, and I think that was the point that I truly was like, something special is possibly happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could go before, if you want goals, go, we absolutely, you know, Tonks Przybram away. Go for that one. Excellent Rybarenko goal there, for example. But no, I think that was really important. And I wanted to mention that as well, because I think that also being with people is very important for the football, like having your routine and stuff. And I like, without sounding too soppy, I like celebrating the moments with the people that, you know, I care about most, which is, you know, sort of, you know, yourself and, you know, a lot of the people around us. But the other one is that you weren't there at, which is the proper off hoodoo off the back, monkey off the back one, which is Prostějov 1, Zbrojovka Brno 2. And I've the two-word answer for that is Lukáš Vorlický.
Yes.
Because that was the one where we were always saying that, like we were saying about Kadikimana, Vorlický, who we still need to sign at any cost, has gone off the bench and has been directly responsible for goals being scored and points being won. And that was the one where we never win in Prostějov. Ever. Even how well we play or how about we never win. And that was the one, again, a 93rd or whatever goal. The crazy, most inventive free kick. We don't do inventive stuff, you know, it's Brojovka, right? It was that. And it was also, I think, partly being unemployed really helped, because I left on the bus with the ultras at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon for that game. And I'd had a decent amount of beer in me as well and had been given a big flag.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's like. I mean, again, there's two things that just keep that belief going that I really enjoyed.
Nice. Okay. So let's just do one each. I'm gonna take the Kromě Zisk game at home.
Mm-hmm.
Which of your two would you?
Prostějov, and just because of Vorlický, because I think that Vorlický hasn't featured enough and got injured, so we can't give him player of the season or anything like that.
Sure.
I think it's important to just underline how important he has been in this very small contribution to the club.
Yeah, I agree. Let's have a quick break, and then should we do some quick who we think might be ins and outs?
Yeah, let's do that then, yeah.
We'll be right back. Hello, before we end the podcast, we're going to do a quick theorization about how about who we think is probably on their way out of the club this summer, because as we said last week, it is a relatively big squad and we need space for more first league level players to come in. I have a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I think.
There's a few I feel. Can we just get the one out of the way that's just like not that interesting, but also absolutely going to happen right now? And you'll have this as well. Jan Hellebrand. Jan Hellebrand, who has basically featured not 1 minute, I don't think.
Yes. I think we talked about this in the episode where we came back after the January break. He was the only one not taken on the training camp. Bless him. Yeah. He was clearly like, okay, you're never playing for this club again. Went He's just not good enough.
He is not.
Right. My outs are Big Reg Cecilia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does a job, but is not first league quality, and we haven't seen that much of him, honestly.
I mean, I sort of feel bad for him, but like, he is just the ultimate of all this list, maybe, that you're going to say, because I'm pretty sure I know who's going to be on your list entirely. He's just the most victim of circumstance, yes. I think, of everyone, because when he has actually, he's won a couple of penalties for us or whatever, and the thing is that he's a... Right, don't take this the wrong way, listener, right? He's a little bit like John McGinn in the way that he's got like kind of a big backside and he can sort of like rear end into things, and he's quite stocky and he's quite good in the air. But just, it's not needed compared to, you know, some of the other players that we have, and wasn't given the time because of it.
If he'd have joined us last season, he would absolutely have been the starting centre forward. Like, no doubt about it. Yeah. He's just not quite good enough for this step up.
Yeah.
Of level of players, I think.
Actually, as an aside as well, from not related to this at all, but I think underpins the often slapdash nature of this podcast, David. Thinking about player of the season, I can't believe neither of us said Kaká.
Oh, yes. He's
great. Let's keep him.
Yeah, he's absolutely staying, by the way. I've also got... possibly, in my opinion, to be released, Adam Cronus.
Yeah, I mean, we just said that.
Like, he's a trier, but he's not top league standard, bless him. The long forgotten Stjepan Langer, who we haven't seen basically since he signed from Sigmar Olomouc in January,
came in with some pomp, video,
and we have not seen hide nor hair of him.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, it's not a young prospect thing with Langer either. That's the thing. He is like 27. Something.
Yeah, late, mid to late 20s.
He's something like that. So I, no.
Another person who joined us in January and we haven't seen very much of, Petr Mareš, who came in, he's played 2 games, I think, and will be 36.
Yep.
Sorry, son.
I have another to add to that sort of thing as well.
Yeah.
You might have this as well, and I don't know how long we signed him on for or whatever, but we can do better, and I wasn't that impressed, and I saw him, Alex Markovic.
I still haven't actually seen him play in the flesh, but I know you weren't impressed.
He just seemed bang average.
He's just a bit of a lump, isn't he, really?
Yeah, and I mean, he's 25. And he might
be one of those who is just a perfectly serviceable backup for a year.
Yeah.
You know.
I just see the likes of like, this is the thing about how maybe my mind works or whatever. Like, I'm not really necessarily thinking about, and you should, but like thinking about like formations and these sorts of things. I'm thinking about good players and stuff that's going to do next year. I just have visions in my head of like Markovic just being absolutely left for dead at like the Dolly check, you know, and just, you know, or Unisi or somewhere like that, when we're playing a team that, you know, has a bit of quality about it, and then just, you know, sort of losing things or whatever. On the subject of the Jolly Check, I'm looking forward to seeing you again, Cole, next season. Rekindle the UK Czech football connection or whatever. If you're listening, I hope you're well.
I've got two more. This is an absolute maybe, but Kuba Selnar, Because for the second half of the season, we haven't seen a lot of him. And I just wonder, again, he could just be a good squad option.
Yeah.
But he's really fallen out of favour. We haven't seen him since Bannock B. Like,
true.
There is a lot of times where he hasn't even been in the matchday squad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think was sent down to the B's for two games.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering about that. And the absolute final one, who I will not be glad to, who I will not be sad to see the back of.
I knew
of,
you were leaving this one to last.
Don't let the door hit you on your way out, Philip Blecha. Yeah. There we go.
It's, yeah. Look, I think that's interesting. I think those are, if we let go of anyone, those are the obvious ones. There are a few, and I mean this in the, I mean this in the nicest possible way as well. There, it feels like there's a few Kromier Zizj bound or Jihlava bound players in, you know, in that sort of
Philip Blecha.
Thing. Malomirzica bound. But also what's going to be really fascinating is, yeah, we have got a big sort of lumbering squad, and it's, and I mean that's got its benefits, of course. We were able to rotate quite successfully yes. this season, and there will be players that I think are good down here that time will tell in the first league or are in the periphery of things. And what I actually think is, I think there's a much larger group of those than the people that are absolutely out. Players like Denis Granechny, for example, who has been actually, at this point, been with us quite a while.
Yeah.
Good servant to the club. Cares. Very much cares. Yeah, you can see it on his face or whatever. Is he going to still be able to cut it up in the first league? This might be a really hot take one as well. But I'm also thinking Rimarenko as well. Rimarenko, who has played a lot more at the start of the season than the second half, and again there's some circumstance about that because we had a lot of hot players, needed to keep them on to push to the title, had to make do with 15-20 minutes here and there, or start and get subbed off after an hour. What impact will he have in the first league? Will he be able to successfully fight for a place and show the quality that we know he's got?
Yeah.
Or is he just going to be, it's going to be another one of those, hasn't impressed up here, but has he actually flattered to deceive?
Yeah.
Six goals, I think it was, at the end for Rimarenko.
Yeah. Briefly on that, Degran reminds me of Jamie Allen at Coventry this season, who had been with us since League Two, came up all the way through the leagues with us, and only lost the captaincy to Matt Grimes 18 months ago. But
Grimey, as you like to be known.
Yeah, Grimey, as you like to be known, yeah. But came on in the final game against Watford, got a massive standing ovation, and was one of the players that Lampard specifically said, like, he hasn't played, but this guy is Kov through and through. And, and like, he's, like, you know, he is an absolute, you know, 8 out of 10 in training, pushes the young players to do better.
Yeah.
And Granechny, I think, may well fill that role next year. Maybe we won't see him much.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, he's a big character, and you know,
and I mean, you're right, and then that's even itself another bigger subgroup as well, because look, I mean, I think it's clear this time that if we want to, and I think the club gets this, if we want to have a good stab at the league next season, we cannot just rest on our laurels and go, they won at a canter. They might have won at a canter, but look, I mean, I still have nightmares about certain football accounts and stuff like that saying that Zbrojovka would be as high as 9th or 10th when we went up last time, and we
high Czech football
at Czech footy. Yeah. It's all love, mate. It's all love. But you know, we didn't make enough additions to the squad. We didn't add any depth to the squad. We got a bit threadbare at the end, and guess what happened? Oh, Vresnicek got fucking crocked. He was the only one that was scoring goals, and we absolutely tumbled. So what we cannot have this time is, we cannot just be sentimental about things, as in, oh, he did so well for us or whatever last year. He was one of the backbones behind the squad. there are still upgrades to be had. One of the people that I think is like eminently upgradable, for example, is Yoshi Texel.
Yes.
Like, and Texel is, I like Texel. I think Texel's beat, he's been around for a while. He's got a couple of seasons at least still in him. He's 33, right? You know, especially down in this league, as good a box-to-box man as you'll ever have or whatever. Do I think that we can do better than Jirka Texel?
Absolutely.
Next season? I think we can.
Yeah.
So,
however, would I still like to have him around in case of injury where he has to step in and be an absolute professional and give us a 7 out of 10 once in a while? Yes.
Because he is the, to coin a phrase, and I don't even know if they usually have games on this day, like he does feel that one that can be called to give a reasonable performance on a cold Tuesday night in Hradec Králové.
Yes.
So, yeah. But we need to do a bit better than that. Like, I mean, one of the players that we've talked about, people coming in, is Vasulin as well, which some people are hot about and some people are not so hot about. I'm quite hot at the prospect of him coming in as well, because, again, I think it's, to be honest, I do think it's an upgrade on maybe what we have, and he's a proven player at that level. Mm. So we have to start thinking about these things. I will absolutely not have fucking Horry anywhere near the squad, as rumours which have now been quashed have addressed. But, yeah, there needs to be money spent. I'll be surprised if we don't bring in genuinely at least half a dozen new players and new faces.
Yeah, me too. Right, shall we finish off?
We haven't even had a beer yet.
No, we should finish off the final episode on a high, or maybe not, depends how good the beer is. But let's do that after this.
Before we do beer of the podcast, I just went onto the artist's Twitter page.
Yeah.
Basically, because I wanted to post lol. They've got there's one comment under there, you know, full time 1-4, and a poster that has zero followers and zero following called Gisli 20.
Right.
Has posted something, and it's funnier if I translate it from Czech to English.
Yep, go on.
So it says that in the first, you know, game we lost by 3 goals. That was the artist post. You fucking bastards, comma. These damned scoundrels didn't even get a yellow card. You shameless fucking bastards. This is how your mothers made their living from their asses, and now go play in the amateur league.
Wow.
Fight needs to put down the bottle, man. Christ. Dearie me.
Oh.
So, just...
oh,
and
dear.
To celebrate that humiliating defeat at home, bracket, not really your home, it is, for the last time this season, David,
Beer of the Podcast! Yes, putting down the bottle is not something we should do, because that's part of the podcast that we do. No, and you've got a... Wow.
It's another welcome return to these damned scoundrels of Mazak Pivovar who have given us...
Damn scoundrels.
Myove Bolibek 11 Degree Fruit Ale.
Ah, a springtime kiss. Lovely.
Fruit ale. Fruit too juicy ale. For your... too juicy for my dad. So juicy, I'm mad. 4.5 percent, as per the bottle, made with love.
Yes, I mean, it has many kind of lipstick kisses all over it, the label. So that's nice.
Out of the bottle, it will look very much like your summer fruit / Lesney Smith diluting juice.
Yeah, it looks
a bit
like
of a head on it.
It looks like very, 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 very weak Ribena.
And I think that's possibly how it will taste. But let's, on the nose...
Ooh. Mmm.
Not disputing that theory just yet.
Yeah, it's...
If this is bad...
Yeah.
Or if this is average, then I feel that's actually better in terms of, like, Zbrojovcast, because I think that sums up Zbrojovcast. We can't just exclusively have...
nice things. A great show, yeah, exactly.
There's always going to be one letdown.
Because this show, ladies and gentlemen, I have enjoyed thoroughly. It's been a very good
one. It's been great, and I think, to be honest, listener, it's not about you all. It's because we had a couple of pints beforehand, and we got to talk about one of the best days supporting this club.
Yes. Anyway, shall we?
Cheers.
Cheers.
To the first league. Where's the fruit?
It doesn't taste of anything.
Thanks for listening this season.
I mean, it genuinely tastes of nothing. I mean, that genuinely is the perfect way to go out. I'm really pleased with that. Thank you. Oh dear, lovely stuff.
The sign on the face made me think it's a fruit ale. The look in the glass, it was looking quite pale. The touch of the beer on my lips, I didn't know what was for. You said it best, David, it tastes of nothing at all.
I'm amazed you got to the end of that. Well done.
And I'm amazed that we've got to the end of this season.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very
everyone.
Much, listener. Wherever you are, whoever you are, thank you for sticking with us throughout this season. It's been one to savour. So I guess we'll see you next season.
We will see you next season in the top flight.
In the top flight.
Have a great summer.
Guantanamera.
Bye.
Bye.
Se tráva, slunečný den dokonává, leží a svět pod ním rudne, možná, že má pod hlavou, s obzorem v dálce, když zpívá, zem, co tak sladce si zpívá. Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera, Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera. Je to píseň paprsek, deroucí se houští. Je to píseň touhy širší než moře. Je to píseň jdi a vem si svoji štěstí. To píseň miluj mě nebo umři. Přiletěla zdaleka a zavoněla palmovým hájem a rozpálenou dlaní. Přiletěla zdaleka, aby si uslyšel také ty. Nad mořem skál, sám s královnou karnevalu. Do vln jak růže bys házel, jako bys šel tou krajinou, o které jsem se ti zdával, jako bys příteli mával.